Great. Thank you, Mick. Please do keep that Bible passage open in front of you, and let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us today, that you are speaking to us by your Holy Spirit. Father, we admit before you that we are weak failures as people, but you are in us and you are with us, and that you are mighty to save. And so, Father, we want to pray we might understand more about that mighty salvation now. In Jesus' name, amen. Is faith what is really needed to get into eternal life? If you're here this morning and new to Christian things, then a big welcome to you. It's great you're here. We've been working through Paul's letter to the Romans, seeing how we have no hope of reaching eternal life unless we have faith. And that might come as a big surprise to you, I don't know. I reckon a lot of us assume that to get into eternal life we have to be nice, polite, moral people, or strict religious people, or something like that. But Paul says it all just rests on faith. And that can make us sometimes feel a bit unsure. Really, Paul? I just have to believe? Surely there must be somewhere, hidden somewhere in the Bible, a list of things I need to do. Well, in our reading today, Paul turns to prove that faith has always been the way into eternal life. If you were here with us last week, we saw God's answer to the big problem the world faces. The whole world is under God's wrath and his judgment, because the whole world has rejected the truth about God and has been plunged into wickedness and unrighteousness. But we saw, chapter 3, verse 21, the big but now in Romans. We saw that the but now, God has answered this great problem. He has answered the problem of human unrighteousness by revealing his own righteousness. And what that means is that we can be justified by faith. Have a look with me at chapter 3, verse 28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. The law, there's the Old Testament law given through Moses. And so Paul's saying, being justified, being brought to victory at the final judgment day and welcomed into eternal life, well, that happens through faith. God has stepped into the picture. God has stepped into this broken world, heading to his judgment to reveal his righteousness. And so he is the one who does everything needed to bring us to victory on the last day. His righteousness will flood into our lives if we have faith. All we need to do is cling to him in faith. But is that really right? Is that really right? That's the question on the table as we get into chapter 4. And the stakes could not be higher, could they? What's on stake is being welcomed into eternal life. So is it really true? Is it really true that we get justified by faith? Well, Paul says in this chapter, yes, it is. And we can know it is by looking at the story of Abraham. And so as we go through this story of Abraham, we are going to see why God has set up justification to happen by faith. And we need to notice three reasons as we go through. First of all, faith receives an undeserved gift. Faith receives an undeserved gift. Now, Paul takes us back to Abraham. It's not any old example. Who Abraham was the founding father of the Jewish peoples. No one is more obviously Jewish, more obviously a member of God's people and right with God than Abraham. And so says Paul, look at Abraham's story and you can understand very clearly how it is that you can be okay with God. Key verse is verse 3. Look at that. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Paul there is quoting the book of Genesis. If you're taking notes, it's Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And it's like the whole chapter 4 is going to unpack that verse for us. Paul sees it as clear-cut proof that Abraham, the defining member of the Jewish people, was justified by faith. You see, to be justified, you need to arrive at Judgment Day with righteousness. If you get to Judgment Day and God's judgment uncovers that the pattern of your life has been wickedness and ungodliness and unrighteousness, well, then God will judge us and we will face condemnation. But if God's judgment uncovers that the pattern of our lives has been righteousness, then God will judge us to be righteous in our hearts and we will be welcomed into eternal life. So there's no important issue than arriving at Judgment Day with righteousness. But what this verse from Genesis is saying is that Abraham simply believed God. He had faith in God. And because of that, God already up front counted Abraham as having righteousness. I mean, it's a big claim, isn't it? And Paul wants us to see just what God was up to. Paul says this must be the case because what faith does is to receive an undeserved gift. Have a look now at verse 4. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Paul here is setting up a comparison. You've got a job, you work, and your efforts earn you the right to your pay packet. Once you've done your work, then you get paid. So on payday, if you're still in work, your boss doesn't come to you with a kind of a big box all wrapped up with gift paper and a nice little ribbon on it. And you don't say to your boss, well, thank you, that's really no need to give me anything. You really shouldn't have. No, your salary does not come as a gift. It comes as what you are owed. It is your due. But what God says to Abraham in Genesis comes as a gift. Abraham does not work. He simply has faith. Now, what is faith? Well, faith is really trusting, relying, depending. It's looking outside of yourself to God to meet your need. Faith receives righteousness as an undeserved gift from God. So verse 5, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So it's not faith which is righteousness, but it is the means by which we receive God's righteousness. Faith, I guess, is like empty hands waiting to receive a gift. I mean, think of a child on Christmas Day grabbing the Christmas present. Well, the hands which go to grab the present, well, they are faith, aren't they? Notice that key phrase in verse 5, that God justifies the ungodly. It's saying that God does everything needed to bring people into eternal life. More than that, he's saying that God does everything to bring people who do not deserve eternal life into eternal life. I mean, that word ungodly takes us back to chapter 1. We had it back then. There we saw how the whole human race is filled with ungodliness and unrighteousness. You and me, all of us. All of us in our hearts, it said, turn our backs on God. And from that comes all the problems in this world. All of us deserve God's judgment. But what God does, chapter 4, verse 5, is he takes such people and brings us through to justification and into eternal life. It means that justification is an undeserved gift. Faith receives that undeserved gift. Now, that was true even of Abraham. I know we don't often think of Abraham like this. We tend to think of Abraham as a really godly kind of guy, and he was. But where he came from wasn't that. I mean, what Genesis tells us is that he grew up in the land where the Tower of Babel was built. That's where Abraham grew up. It was a land of pagan idols. In fact, the whole world was like that at the time. It was later he became the father of the Jewish nation, but his roots were firmly in the pagan Gentile world. And it's by God's grace that God comes, God steps in, God takes the initiative, grabs hold of Abraham, and all Abraham does this is trust. You see, faith receives an undeserved gift. Now, to doubly make this point, what Paul goes on to do in verse 6 to 8 is he takes example of David, another really important figure from the Old Testament, this time Israel's greatest king. And this is what it says. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. What David deserves is God's judgment, but what God does is not to count David's wrongdoing against him. God's blessing comes as an undeserved gift. What faith does is to receive that gift. So this is the way justification and eternal life has always worked in the Bible. Let's let it sink in just for a moment. It means then that faith is a looking outside of ourselves. It's trusting God, isn't it, in the different situations of life, clinging to him in them. I mean, it'll be worked out, won't it, in Bible and prayer as we hold on to God's promises, which are for us in Jesus. We hold on to them in every situation in life. It'll be worked out in prayer as we pray, saying to God, look, this is just impossible. I can't do it, but you, God, can. That is what it means. I mean, the opposite of faith is looking inside ourselves and having confidence in ourselves. I mean, it's what Hollywood tells us, isn't it? There's a frequent message in the movies, look to the hero within. And we can look to all kinds of things, can't we? We can look to our own achievements, our status, our goodness. We can boast in ourselves and who we are. Now, one of the problems with that, I don't know if you find this, but our confidence goes up and down in ourselves. And it depends on how we feel about who we are and what we've done. So I look to myself, and one day I feel so pleased with myself. And then sooner or later, it's the next day, and then I don't feel pleased with myself, and I'm utterly crushed by my failure. Do you find that? I do. But faith looks not inside to ourselves, but out to God. Faith receives from God what we do not deserve. The second reason that justification by faith is God's way is this, that faith opens salvation to all peoples. Have a look at verse 9 and 10. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. Now, Paul's point there is pretty simple, actually. If justification hangs on faith, then it means anyone can be justified. He talked about circumcision. Circumcision was the badge of membership for the Jewish people. And Paul's saying whether you're circumcised or not, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you can have faith and so be justified. And so Abraham's story was designed by God to make this very point. When did God count faith to Abraham as righteousness? Answer, before he was circumcised. Years before, actually, if you read the story of Genesis. Therefore, being accepted by God does not hang on circumcision, or being a Jew, doesn't hang on anything like that. It hangs on faith. You see, God deliberately set things up in Abraham's story so that he would be circumcised later to make this point. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who were not merely circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Now, this is what Paul was saying at the end of chapter 3. There in the end of chapter 3, you can have a look again at verse 28. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith? Both Jew and Gentile are justified in the same way. And it fits, doesn't it, the whole logic of Romans so far. Paul has insisted that the gospel is good news for everyone who believes, whether you're Jew or Gentile. Why? Because as we've been seeing, whether you're Jew or Gentile, we're all of us under sin and we're all heading to God's judgment. Chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is God's power for salvation for everyone who believes. Faith then opens salvation to all peoples. Isn't that great news for us? It means faith is the great leveller. We live in a world, don't we, which constantly puts people on different levels. I mean, we all do this as individuals, don't we? We rank people in our heads. You know, you can go on the top level if you are good looking, if you're healthy, if you're successful, you went to the right school, you earn enough money and all the rest of it. But if you're not those things, then you're, well, a second-class citizen. But faith comes along as the great leveller. Because God has made justification by faith and we all receive salvation on the same basis, it means that anyone, whoever they are and whatever their background, can receive God's salvation. Whether we're a child or an adult, whether we're rich or poor, healthy or sick, faith is the great leveller. And it's wonderful, isn't it, that God wants his people to be made up of all kinds of people from all kinds of walks of life and all kinds of nations and cultures. This is then the second reason that justification is by faith. Faith opens salvation to all peoples. And then the third reason, faith guarantees our inheritance. You see, Paul now moves to talk about the promise that God made to Abraham. Have a look at verse 13. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In the book of Genesis, God promised Abraham the land of Canaan. But actually, it was just the beginning of an even greater promise that Abraham one day would inherit the whole world. It's talking about the new world to come. It's talking about eternal life. And Paul's point in verse 13 is that eternal life comes as a result of living by faith and not the result of keeping the Old Testament law, verse 14 and 15. You see, many Jews thought, they assumed, that if they just keep bits of God's law, then they will have righteousness before God and be welcomed into eternal life. But Paul is saying that a life pleasing to God comes through faith. If you look at Abraham, he lived by faith, and what came from his faith was a life pleasing to God. And through that then came the promise of eternal life. Now, that kind of claim he's made there, he now sets out in more detail in our verses ahead of us. So let's have a look through this. You see, God said he would give his inheritance to Abraham and his offspring. But at the time, Abraham had no son, let alone a big number of descendants to inherit it. He was old. His wife was old. It was impossible. They were near death, not thinking about having children. Yet despite all this, Abraham believed in God. Let's read through from verse 18. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. See, what marked Abraham's faith was a deep conviction that God's promise would be fulfilled no matter what, even if it meant God bringing life out of death. I don't know, do you know some people in their 90s? Maybe you know a married couple in their 90s? Now imagine them just for a moment having their first child. I mean, it just seems ridiculous, doesn't it? But that was what happened to Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham believed despite all the odds. Notice what happened as Abraham kept trusting God in this matter. Verse 20, he gave glory to God. Back in chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, we saw how the whole world had rejected the truth about God and so refused to give glory to God. Here's Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. But now, living by faith, Abraham does the opposite. Abraham gives glory to God. That is what faith does in us. Rejecting the truth about God produces unrighteousness, but faith in God leads to righteousness. Verse 22, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. You see, the reason God had already up front counted righteousness to Abraham is because faith clings to God's power and produces righteousness in us. You get the same thing in James chapter 2. Abraham's faith was up front, counted as righteousness, and this was fulfilled when by faith he acted in righteousness. So Paul's point is this, that through the righteousness of faith, the promise of Abraham came about. He trusted God. God brought that son and fulfilled his promises. And as he trusts God, so he gives glory to God. Faith produces righteousness, and that leads in God's purposes to eternal life. But it all begins with faith. So when Abraham believes God's promise, it is counted to him as righteousness. Already up front, God counts Abraham's faith as righteousness because that is what comes from faith. And so Paul's application to us comes in verse 23 to 25. What was said to Abraham was said to him for us. Here we go. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. For us also, God counts up front our faith as righteousness. And that means our share in the promised inheritance, our eternal destiny, is guaranteed already in the present. Faith guarantees our inheritance. That's because faith relies on God's power, and God will do everything needed to get us into eternal life. Judgment Day awaits the future, doesn't it? But the outcome has already been announced in the present. If you have faith, then God has already promised that he will bring you to that eternal life. He will do everything needed. You just need to cling to him. We saw back in Romans chapter 2 that at the future judgment, God will look at our lives for evidence that our hearts seek him. But the problem is that we all belong to a human race that has rejected him. And we wonder, how could God ever bring us through into eternal life? How can he take ungodly people like us and justify us? Well, the answer comes in verse 25, doesn't it? Just picking up in verse 24 first. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. God does not count our sin against us. Why? Because his son took it all on the cross, cancelled it all out, wiped it all out. And God can count our faith as righteousness already in the present, because by faith we cling to God's power in the resurrection of Jesus. God raised Jesus to new life so that he can live inside us and control us and be God's righteousness inside us. God's power in Jesus is what will do everything to bring us into eternal life. And we receive that gift by faith. Faith guarantees our future. And so in the end, Romans chapter 4 is really a chapter about resurrection power. Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead. But Abraham trusted in God's resurrection power, and Isaac was born, and a huge people through Isaac. Look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And our faith is the same. We believe in God's resurrection power. Christ not only died, but he died many times over, as it were, taking all our wrongdoing on himself. But then God raised him from the dead. And our hope is fixed on him and God's resurrection power in him. And so for God to justify us, well, it takes that resurrection power. Verse 5, God justifies the ungodly. He takes wicked people, Romans chapter 1, and puts his righteousness by the Holy Spirit and Jesus risen from the dead in them. It's like he raises us from dead to new life. When we started looking at the book of Romans all those weeks ago, we saw that the gospel is God's Son in resurrection power. Jesus has been raised in power, and through that power, he is making peoples of the world obedient to God. But since chapter 1, we have had no mention of Jesus' resurrection. Until here, in the very last verse of chapter 4. You see, it's all been heading to this verse. It's the last verse, actually, of the first section of the book of Romans. Here we go. Here's a structure of Romans. You can have a look at that later if you want. But the first section is all about the universal need of the gospel. It runs from chapter 1 all the way through to the end of chapter 4. And Paul has been making all these arguments we've been looking at to bring us to a place where we see that what we need is to live by faith in God's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what the gospel is. If I want to be justified on the last day, then I need Jesus to die in my place so that that track record of all my wrongs will not be counted against me. But I also need Jesus to rise again so that he can be God's righteousness in me. And if he is living in me by faith, he will bring the fruit of righteousness in me, and he will guarantee my future destiny. It's why God can count righteousness to me already in advance. Now that certainty is exactly where Paul's going in the next section of Romans. You can see it there. The confident hope of the gospel. It's chapters 5 to 8 of Romans. But you're going to have to wait to January to see more of that in detail. But today, what Romans 4 is trying to do is to convince us that justification and salvation have always happened through faith. It's always been that way. Of course it must be that way, says Paul, because faith receives an undeserved gift. Because faith opens salvation to all peoples, and faith guarantees our inheritance. Amen.